This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
And it's the Gaelic spelling, so that's why, yeah, it's Gaelic and Spanish. And there's actually quite a few European languages that's spelled that way too. Yeah.
I must admit, I had to double check as well, just in case we did a typo or something.
Yeah.
Luckily, this is a, you know, oral medium, so yes, people won't be able to see any spelling mistakes.
So Thomas, give us a bit of a background on, you know, like why you became an actor.
Well, I think it's been in my blood. My mum and dad, actually, well, I'm also a musician, so my mum and dad play the piano and sing and that kind of thing, but dad did our genealogy and found that there was actors and circus performers quite far back in our family.
Okay.
So they like to pretend it's in the genes. Mum has this story of when I was quite young, I think I was maybe three, and I used to always decide to be a different character every day
when
we'd go to the shops. Yeah, so she would she'd have to take me around and call me by the name I'd choose.
Oh,
and
wow.
One time I was Dumbo. So yeah, that was really lovely for her when she's having to scream, Dumbo, get back here in, you know, the shopping centre.
But she did it, though.
She had to commit to it, because if she didn't, I'd kick and scream and turn around and say, I'm not Thomas, I'm Dumbo. So, you know, she got many looks from many people.
Good on her. So you followed a career then in acting?
Correct. I studied at the Victorian College of the Arts.
Yep.
I actually did music.
Oh, so you're a Melbourne boy?
No, I'm from Wollongong, south of Sydney.
Yep.
Yeah, so grew up there, did community theatre there, and as well trained there at the Illawarra Performing Arts Centre with a beautiful Fiona Finlay, who was a NIDA grad. We had a great time there, and then, yeah, eventually moved down here to study. There wasn't as much for me at the time when I was, how old was I then? Probably about 19, when I was trying to figure out everything and where I was going, what I was doing. But I was travelling actually every Saturday to Melbourne to do a short course at the VCA because...
What? Every week?
Every week. I was working at 19. I was working during the week to afford flights to come down to study. I just... The course at the VCA was, for me at the time, the one thing that I really wanted to do.
And, uh-huh.
And I went...
Couldn't you have done it in Sydney?
Well, you would think that, wouldn't you? At the time, there was less... There is more now. And I just made the decision, and I think... It made me a better person anyway, because I learned a lot about consequence
and travel,
finances
and
what it means to be an independent person. So that really helped me, yeah.
Okay. So you moved here. What happened?
I moved, started working at an organic grocer and did the foundation program at the VCA, and then did the music theatre bachelor as well. And while I was doing that, I met my current husband as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's a ballet dancer,
correct? He's a principal dancer in the Australian Ballet.
Wow. So he would be away a bit, wouldn't he?
He is away about 5 to 6 months of the year. But,
which is good for you, I suppose, to get rid of
him. Well, funnily enough, it's one of those things that at first we thought it would be horrible, but it makes, you know, the heart grow fonder, as they always say.
Aww.
So the 6 months we're together, they're cherished, and then the 5 months or 6 months we're apart, we do travel to each other quite a lot, and I have family, obviously, south of Sydney, so going back to Sydney when they're there, it's never an issue.
Because they were there just pre-Christmas, weren't they, for about 6 weeks?
Yeah, they were. They did two seasons up there, and so they'll be back. They're travelling to Brisbane first this year to do Happy Prince, and then they'll be back, and then Sydney and... No international tours this year, so that makes it nicer for us.
Right. And are you a professional actor?
Correct.
Right.
I would class myself as a professional actor.
And how is it getting work? Is it coming your way these days?
I only graduated in 2018, so 2019 was my first year out of VCA.
Yep.
So doing this show, When the Light Leaves, was my first big gig. It's been a fantastic journey, and I've been really fortunate that it's come back. You know, we did it again in September in Wonthaggi. So we started in June, July at La Mama in Carlton, and then went down to Wonthaggi because Rory Godbold, the writer, his family is from there, and the story is based off his family. So it was kind of a beautiful experience to take it down to Wonthaggi, where everything kind of happened and all these people are very close to the story, and it was a very different world. And now to bring it to Midsummer, it takes it again to another place because there's a queer couple at the centre, but it's not the extreme focus of the story. It's just nice to have queer people at the centre of stories without having to make a big deal of it.
So you've pretty much been working on this play for the last 12
pretty
months.
Pretty much. I've done a few different little things going in between, doing a kids show, and I did a performance art piece with Citizen Theatre at the beginning of the year last year too, and have been auditioning constantly. It's almost a job in itself, actually, auditioning. You'll get a brief 2 days before, sometimes a day before, and then sometimes it's a self-tape, sometimes you're going in, sometimes it's in front of a camera, sometimes it's in front of a panel of 20 or a panel of two. You never know what you're going to get, which it's the fun of it, is going in and going, okay, I get to perform, really.
Do you stress out about it, auditions?
I did. I'm coming to a different point. It's only been a year, but I've already started to change the way I think about it and the way I think about auditions. I've been trying to see it less as a scary thing that I'm going in and people are going to judge me. It's more about I get a chance to show people who I am and what I like to do, and if they choose me, it's maybe because I'm too tall or because I'm blonde or because I'm, you know, not tall enough or not thin enough, whatever. It has nothing to do with me as a performer about, I think, 90% of the time.
Yep.
The 10% of the time, maybe I'm actually just the wrong actor for the job, and that's also fine.
Yeah, exactly.
With this show, Tom, you sort of, it's obviously gone on a bit of a tour in itself. Now, was that known when you started at La Mama, or has that sort of been just extended? And so I suppose I'm curious as to know how you've adapted, because you're obviously looking for other work and auditioning, and then having the uncertainty of how long is this going to go on for? How do you deal with that?
Well, I actually was brought... So I auditioned for the show originally and didn't get the role. So one of the cast members needed to be, he had to take time away from the show. So I had 2 weeks to put the entire show on its feet, and I don't leave the stage for 75 minutes.
Wow.
So it was a huge task. I was very glad I was entrusted to it, because it's for a director, Jade, our beautiful director, it would have been quite daunting, I'm sure, to go, okay, let's get someone in who can do this. Sure, I'm sure he'll be fine. But we had I was very thankful that she had a lot of trust in me and I had a lot of faith in her, and we put on this thing with our beautiful other cast members, Michelle, Veronica and Lee, just the four of us, and it's a beautiful little family, as well as our Terry, our stage manager. We have a great family. So we started, at La Mama. I knew that when joining I would be doing the La Mama season and the One Thaggy season. We had no idea about the Midsummer season. There's, fingers crossed, hopefully more, because I think it's the kind of show that needs to be seen by the public. It being just in Melbourne, it is kind of just, you know, saying the same thing over and over. It has a voice that I think will continue, hopefully, to New South Wales and regional Victoria at minimum. That's what I hope for.
Tell us, what's it about?
So the play is about Dan, my character.
What's it called again?
When the Light Leaves is the name. So it'll be a part of the Midsummer Festival from Wednesday to Saturday this week.
Yep.
The play is about Dan, who's 34 years old and he has terminal brain cancer, stage 4. It's about him learning to deal with it and recognise what death is and what death means to him, because death can mean so many different things to many people, but also what life means too, because that's the most important thing for him. As well as that, his story, we get to follow three other characters along the way. So what this whole thing means with dealing with terminal brain cancer for the husband of the character, the sister of the character, and the nurse. So the characters Liam, as well as Kate, and the character of Alice, the nurse. So we're following all these four characters. And the beauty of it is that it doesn't judge anyone's view on this. So it arose out of the voluntary assisted dying laws. Rory's father was dying and there was a lot of stuff around that, and his father was a massive campaigner for those who don't know what voluntary assisted dying is, it's another term for euthanasia.
Yep.
It is slightly different. The terminology is very specific for a reason, because it's allowed us to get to having these laws in this country, in this state.
Yeah.
Victoria is the only state at this point.
I think Perth of Western Australia have just introduced it.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, what was the crazy thing was, I think it was our third performance of the play is when the laws passed. So it was really in the thick of this incredible, what was a battle for so many of our politicians and campaigners and so many people who were themselves suffering through terrible illness and trying to get to the end of something. So Rory's father, unfortunately, never saw the laws pass, but this was almost like the gift that he that Rory gave his father through this. So it was a beautiful moment. But yeah, so it really centralises around voluntary assisted dying. It doesn't judge anyone's opinion, and that's one of the things I really love about the play, because you do see these three other characters, as well as Dan, struggle with what it means. Dan would like to have the opportunity to choose when his life ends, but what does that mean for you if that's your husband? What does that mean for you if that's your brother?
Yep.
What does that mean for you if you're their nurse and you have to take care of them, if you're their palliative care nurse? So it really doesn't judge anyone's view, and it allows you as an audience member to walk away from it and go, okay, well, what do I feel? What do I believe? Not, oh, I just got this shoved down my throat and I feel like, you know, insulted because I don't believe that. It just invites you
wow,
to challenge
so
yourself.
That's so clever to take that stance.
Yeah.
It sounds absolutely fantastic. And as you said, it's down at Gasworks Arts Park. Mm-hmm. From the 29th to the 1st of Feb, which
correct.
Is this week.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, you know, I was going to make a joke, oh, you better learn your lines, but of course you must not backwards because you've done it a few times.
Yes.
And what's it called again?
When the Light Leaves is the name of the play.
Right, and a great title as well, isn't
it? It's a beautiful title. Yeah. When you get to see it, you'll understand why. There's a little thing that's on the stage that I won't spoil because I want you all to come.
Yeah. Thomas, thank you so much, and thanks for explaining it as well, what the play's about, and it is good that it's not opinionated, that it's all people for people's feelings that they're feeling.
Exactly, and the real important thing that I think as well as a part of Midsummer is that it's amazing to tell stories of people that are coming out and trans people or queer people or anything like that, but it's also important that we get to a point in theatre where we have queer people at the centre of stories that doesn't have to be necessarily a queer story.
Absolutely.
And I think that's we're taking that step now with plays like this as a part of Midsummer.
Yeah, and it's fantastic because we had somebody from programming from Gasworks the other week, and they were raving about this play. which is good. So
great.
Thank you.
Well, come along.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.